Welcome to all of you. Last night we had a film on the sadhu tradition of yoga in India. And the archetypal patron saint, if you will, patron god of yogis traditionally is Shiva. But one can understand Shiva in an imaginary way and believe that one is worshipping a blue-skinned warrior with a cobra around his neck and the Ganges spurting from the top of his head and the trident in his hand. And there are misguided yogis who actually believe that. We all know better in our modern demythologized world. But that doesn't mean that Shiva is not real. And if we understand all of these symbols, all of these images as symbols of the self that we are, and truly internalize and evoke the qualities that are represented as Shiva, we will be redeemed. This is the promise, and this is the question, not only of yoga or of Hinduism or of any spiritual path, but simply of facing the truth of our being. So the most important icon of Shiva is that of Nataraj, a very famous sculpture, I'm sure you've all seen it, of Shiva dancing, four-armed Shiva, dancing on a dwarf, on the head of a dwarf, right, within a ring of fire. And in each of his four hands is a different symbol. One is a drum, the tick-tock of time. He is the master of time. But also the world is in flames. It's on fire. It's the end. And yet Shiva's dance creates a new beginning. And this picture gives us a choice. It says to each of us, you can be either Shiva or the dwarf. Take your pick. The dwarf clearly represents the ego. And if we choose to identify with the dwarf, we're going to be in pain. We're going to be in suffering. If only for the fact that God is dancing on our head, giving us a headache. But also because we are in duality. We're suffering. We're perturbed. The dwarf is always upset by reality, by everything that goes on in the phenomenal plane. It creates vexation. And so it's a constant fountain of complaints. The Ganges doesn't spurt from its head, but complaints do, and vexations, and dissatisfaction, unhappiness, suffering of every kind. The dwarf can never be happy. But the real source of its unhappiness is that it knows it could be Shiva if it would only let go of its attachment to dwarfdom. And that comes about simply by refusing to be vexed, refusing to fall into the trap of either desire or fear, refusing to fall into the acquiescence of the agendas of the surface level of the mind, but instead to dwell in the depths at the ground of our being, in the silence of the cosmic consciousness. This divine mind, this pure awareness, is in all of us. And in that state, in fact, we are all one. And the great laughter that comes of realizing that one is truly that is that there never was a dwarf. The dwarf was simply a misunderstanding of oneself, a misidentification of the self with the body. But the self is not the physical organism. The self is not even in time or space. The self is that which gives birth to time and space, gives birth to worlds, gives birth to the real. And there is no suffering. There is peace. Complete, deep, undisturbable peace. And in that state, when the mind is completely silenced, when one has used the power of that trident to destroy the egoic mind that wants to disturb you and vex you and bring you out of the self into the round of birth and death, when one has refused and used the power of will to dissolve that sanskara of externalization, one remains in the immovable spot, in that point that is the center of our being, then all the divine powers emerge from within us, beginning with the power of love, of compassion, for all those who are still identified as the dwarf. And the tick-tock of this drum of time is the realization that one can only become Shiva now, at this moment, not later. And if your attitude is, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next month, I'll do it after I break up with this boyfriend, maybe after that I'll do it, or I'll do it, etc., whenever we make an excuse. But anything that is not now is not real. All that is real is the present moment. And we must, at some point, make the choice now. And this iconography of Shiva with the ring of fire around him is to remind us that there isn't an infinite number of days and hours in the future. And we never know when the fire of death will extinguish the possibility of becoming Shiva. And we must do another round of birth and death, another cycle, another yuga, another kalpa. How long will we go on with the suffering until we have graduated from this school of pain and vexation and attained liberation? How long will we fall for the seductions and the dead ends of the egoic pleasure, even the pleasure of suffering itself? And so the purpose of meditation is to take you into that realization that now is the moment to achieve liberation. And when there is utmost seriousness in the mind and you have gathered all of the forces of your being together to make that transition from the dwarf to the transcendent Shiva that is imminent within our being, liberation is instantaneous. And the only question there is that we must ask is, how much more suffering do I want to go through until I have said I've had enough? How much more? Because at the moment we've said enough, and we mean it, it's done. And so we have the power, we have the control. It's not that we are victims of some force beyond us. But there is a turn of the screw that is going on right now at this tail end of Kali Yuga that is forcing us, kicking and screaming, to make the choice to realize the godhood of our true being. Let's take our own ego out of its misery and attain the godhood that is our birthright, that is the state of deep peace and egoless oneness with the source of all that is. If we choose to make that the purpose of our meditation, illumination and liberation are here now. Om Shanti. Let's meditate.